So we're on Daf Tes Amud Aleph. Let's just go over the last Gemara on the bottom of Tes of Ches Amud Beis. And the Gemara wants to quote a Braisa to prove Shmuel that Rochuv is not a Kinyan. Because the Braisa, when it speaks about the Kinyanim for a Gamal or a Chamor, the Braisa mentions two possibilities, excluding other possibilities. One is Meshicha, and the other is Hanhaga. So we have two ways of getting these animals to move, in the case of camels and donkeys. One way of getting them to move is by pulling them. That's called Meshicha. And the other is by Hanhaga, where you take a stick and you hit the animal. And apparently when it comes to chamor, that's normal procedure, that to get the donkey to move, you hit it with a stick. I think I've seen this actually in the Old City on my way to the Kotel. If you go through Shar Tzion, you'll see sometimes the Arabs, you know, even a young Arab on a chamor, and he hits the chamor with a stick. In the case of gamal, the way of moving a gamal is somehow to pull the gamal. And it seems that the Tanakama is very liberal and allows you to be kona even what let's call it shalo kidarko. We're going to have a whole discussion here about doing a kinyan in a way that's not usual. That's not usually the way you get the animal to move. And the Tanakama would seem to allow for meshicha even in the case of chamor, which is unusual because normally you do anhaga in a chamor, and Hanhaga in the case of a gamal, which I can't even begin to imagine, but somehow you hit the gamal in the back and it starts moving. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, which is on the top of Daf Tes Amud Aleph, he insists that you need Meshicha b'gamal and Hanhaga b'chamor exclusively. But in any event, the Gemara is medayik from this braisa, quoting this machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda, that only two possible kinyanim are mentioned here. There's no mention of rochuv. And this seems to support the shita of Shmuel, that rochuv is not a kinyan. Now, it's very interesting
the
because...
Sarah, yeah. The rochuv and the Sarah Is that a gray area, or is that...
Well, there are many different types of rochuv. The type of rochuv that we're dealing with now could be tofes b'mosera, but it's not manig b'ragla, because Shmuel admits that if you have rochuv b'manig b'ragla, that's already another category of manig. Now, even though he's tofes b'mosera, what we discussed last time was that that only causes the animal to move very slightly. It's not a major kind of push to get the animal to move forward. So the element of Meshicha, which is Azla Machmasa, is a little bit, you know, on the back burners. It's low profile in the case of Rochuv. So therefore Shmuel says that's not a Kinyan. And Shmuel had the analogy with the case of Yoshev Bekaron in Kelayim that he's not Chayev Arboy Malkus for Harisha, because he doesn't really get the animal to move. But I just wanted to raise one other question here. I looked around, I couldn't find anyone who addresses this question. Mm-hmm. And that is, the assumption of this Gemara is that the Braisa is talking about a case of Hefker, of Behemoth's Hefker, hence the equation to Shmuel. I was just wondering, what would be the status of Rochuv in a case of Das Makne? Meaning, if I were to sell you an animal, let's say I sold you a horse, and you would just jump onto the saddle and grab onto the Mosera, and that was my Das Makne, that you should make a kinyan on the animal, would that be sufficient even according to Shmuel? Because as we've discussed, the Das Makne sort of like upgrades the kinyan to a higher level, something which is below par as far as kinyanim is concerned with regard to Hefker, because of the absence of Das Makne, perhaps would still be valid in the case of a Das Makne. So I'm just throwing out that possibility.
He doesn't have to give him the reins to do something.
Well, he has to say, I want you to acquire ownership. Please make a kinyan on this animal. I want to transfer my ownership to you. And I'd like you to, you know, just climb onto the saddle of the animal, hold on to its reins, and that should be a kinyan. I'm just suggesting the possibility that Shmuel would be more in that case of Das Machta, that Rochav would indeed be a kinyan. Because the very fact that I have now initiated the Rechiva, which in the case of, let's say, a horse, that's what you want to do with a horse, that's the Tashmish and the Hanova horse, maybe that would demonstrate Bailus. In any event, the Gemara rejects this whole equation here to this price. The price is not at all interested in giving us an extended list of enumerated list of all the various possible kinyonim that would operate with regard to a behemoth hefker. This brisa is simply focused on the kedarko or the shalom kedarko, meaning Rabbi Yehuda is very, shall we say, exclusive, and he narrows the possibilities as far as chamor and gamal, because in the case of chamor he wants manig, in the case of gamal he wants dafka meshicha, and the rabbanon are expanding it and they're saying you can switch around and you could have both meshicha and manig for both chamor and gamal. But there's no indication here in this braisa that we're coming to exclude any other possible candidate kinyanu. So the Gemara is not happy with that because the language of the Braisa is a little bit imprecise. The Braisa could have just said that both Meshicha and Hanhaga are valid both in the case of Gamal and in the case of Chamor. Instead, the Braisa uses a very, very strange language in which it says that what would be if there was Meshicha in Gamal, what would be if there was Bin Hanhoga in Chamor? The Braisa seems to be actually addressing all possible scenarios. If the Braisa was coming just Lafuke Rabbi Yehuda and to expand Hanhoga and Meshicha for both Chamor and Gamal, it should have said just that. The Gemara says, though, that the reason why the Braisa had to deliberately avoid using that language, which is called our Bivinhu Velisninu, is because there's one possibility which is invalid. We don't know which possibility that is, which connection or matching would it be. Either the Braisa is excluding Meshicha in the case of Chamar or Hanhoga in the case of Gamal, and there are actually two versions as to which one is being excluded.
But we're not excluding where even according to Rabbi Yehuda, where he calls the Chamor.
Right, that would probably be the equivalent of Hanhoga b'Chamor. If he calls the Chamor, right, it probably would be similar to a case of a Meshicha where he got the animal to move based on his calling it.
It's not even that's not being called into question.
Right. But now the Braisa says something called Bemida Zukana. And the Gemara thinks that those words, which are formulated by the Tanakhama, this Braisa, are totally superfluous. It doesn't make sense why the Braisa would say Bemida Zukana, especially in the light of the fact that the Tanakhama, this Braisa, is coming to expand the kinyonim of both Chamor and Gamal. Why would he say Bemida Zos? Bemida Zos sounds like a mute. It's coming to restrict this kinyonim. And the logical exclusion here would be for Rochuv. And then we would have again a proof for Shmuel. So the Gemara says, no. The Mida Zos is coming to exclude Rabbi Yehuda. And that's called in the Gemara's language. I'm sorry. Forget about Rabbi Yehuda. Lema'ute Ipcha, which means that if you switch it around, let's say, for example, Meshicha b'Gamal or Hanhoga b'Chamor, right? We're not sure which of the two is valid, and when we switch it around to the other way, which is invalid. So now the Gemara thinks that maybe b'Mida Zos means that it's got to be Meshicha b'Gamal, it's got to be Hanhoga b'Chamor. So the Gemara says that's impossible because then you've reduced Chachamim to Rabbi Yehuda and they're both saying that there's one exclusive kinyan for Chamor and one for Gamal. So the Gemara says no. Again, this is the Tzad Echad, the low kana, that one of the two combinations would not be valid. Okay. So I think what we got up to last week was Toshma. So let's see if we're all... on the same. Yeah. So the first word in the line is Ve'ika di Amri. It's approximately, I'd say, 12, maybe 15 lines down from the top of Daf Tes Amud Aleph. And at this point, the Gemara wants to quote Fakeret, a brisa that seems to indicate that Rechiva is Kona against Shmuel, who says that Rachav is Eino Kona. So this is not a riot to Shmuel, but rather a kasha on Shmuel. And the brisa says, Echad Rachuv al Hamor v'Echad Tofus b'Mosera, Zekona Hamor v'Zekona Mosera. Now this brisa assumes that the Hamor is made up of two different, shall we say, monetary entities that are valuable in the Shuk. One is the Gufo Shel Hamor, the Gufo Shel Behema. And the other is the attachment to the behema, which is called a mosera. Now the mosera is made up of part, in and of itself, we're going to see, is made up of different parts. There's part of the mosera which wraps around the head of the animal. Right. And then there's part of the mosera that is a strap or some sort of a connecting a link that allows the rider to draw the animal.
Right. And can we understand that one of those without the other is useless?
I would assume that's correct. But right now, it's interesting, the Gemara is going to go through two stages. At stage number one, this is before Rav Ashi, we view this object, called a Mosera, as one indivisible entity. And I think in English, again, this is not going to help anybody, but I think in English it's called a bridle. And the bridle has what's called a headpiece to it, and it also has reins to it. And the total object is called a mosera. It probably sells in the market for something similar to the price of a chamar. It's probably very, very expensive. It's a very sophisticated kind of an object. And now the brisa seems to assume that if two people simultaneously make a kinyan on the chamar, we can split between the two monetary objects that make up this chamar. There's the gufa shel behema, the gufa shel chamar, and then there's the mosera, that entire piece that's made up of all those different parts that's connected to the animal. And here the brisa differentiates between the rachuv and the tofus b'mosera.
But this would only be in the case where you have the two simultaneous kinyan.
Right.
One might be sufficient to.
Right, without the other possible.
But at this stage, we don't say.
But the exciting news about this brisa is that each one can effectuate a kinyan independent of the other one. I mean, the Gemara is going to shlug this up because the Gemara is going to say that, you know, the Mosera has to be lifted up completely, which it's not lifted up completely because part of it is tied down to the head of the animal. But before we get to that, the Gemara assumes that by lifting up part of the Mosera, in this case the reins, he can make a kinyan on the entire Mosera, which is really fascinating.
So when we say make a kinyan, we're entertaining the possibility of making a kinyan on the Mosera.
Yeah.
A kinyan on the behema.
Well, again, you could again extrapolate, but I'm just saying the case that's being addressed in the Brice is where both Reuven and Shimon are simultaneously making a kinyan on a behema's hefker, and Reuven through his rachuv achieves a kinyan on the gufa shel behema. Shimon, by being tofes b'mesera, achieves a kinyan on the mosera, the entire bridle of the animal.
And the assumption is that the bridle is installed on the animal
at
that time?
Yes. And it's not batel to the animal. It's a separate entity. And we'll see later on, the Gemara wants to say, no, it's batel to the animal. It's like a takshit. But right now, the Gemara sees it as a separate entity.
And another question here, semantic perhaps, but Mosera could be the whole assembly or possibly just
I'm anticipating, David, what's coming around the bend. We're going to see later on in Rav Ashi, that's going to be like Roman numeral number 2 in this sugya, is that Rav Ashi is going to take apart the Mosera into its various parts. But right now we're looking at the Mosera as like one entity.
Okay.
All right.
Sure.
But in any event, Shmamino Rochav Kani, I mean, the very fact that someone is sitting on the Chamor and he's Kona the Gufa Shel Behema, that indicates clearly that Rochav is a Kona, is a Maisa Kinyan. And then we're stuck with Shmuel. But keep in mind, Rabbi said that we always talk about Rochav under one of two different categories. Rochav could either be sitting on the saddle, and as we said over and over again, Shmuel insists that he doesn't cause the animal to move, so there's no Mashiach here. Or you could have a Rochav, which is really a Manig, meaning Manig, meaning that he's causing the animal to move. That's called Trei Gavnei Manig.
And that's Tafus Baraglav?
Correct. And Hochinami says, Rochav Kani, that's only the case of Manig Baraglav. And just to reiterate what we said last week, that when he wraps his legs around the animal and he kicks the animal or pressures the animal with his legs, he has a profound impact on the animal. The animal starts moving forward. And that makes it into a kinyan of Manig. Manig is Mashiach, right? It's interesting. On a conceptual level, Manig equals Mashiach. That's an equation. Why? Because in both Manig and Mashiach, he's causing the animal to move, which is called in the Gemara's language, Azla Machmose. In semantics, in terms of the reality, there's a difference between Manig and Moshech, or Mashiach. Mashiach, in a more general sense, means that he is causing the animal to move. But Manig tells you that he causes the animal to move in certain ways. Either because he pulls the animal, or because he smacks the animal, or in our case, because he smacks the animal with his legs as a rider of the animal. The rider smacks the animal with his legs. And Shmuel excludes Rochav because he postulates that Rochav is not Manhig, but there is a case of Rochav which is Manhig, and Shmuel would never doubt that if Rochav is a Manhig, because he literally causes the animal to move in a very profound way, that would certainly be a Kinyan. Now, for some reason, the Gemara is not happy with this, so we're going to try to figure out why the Gemara is not happy with this. Ihochi says the Gemara, Nikni Nami Rochav Bimosera. All of a sudden, the Gemara makes an about-face, and the Gemara now introduces some sort of concept which is similar to bittul. What do I mean by bittul? Like, for example, in Hilchos Shabbos, you have a concept of a takshit, right, that's attached to your garment, and it's bittul to your garment, so that even though you're not wearing the ornament, but since the ornament is tagged on, attached to your garment, is considered wearing. It's like a levisha. And the takshit loses its status as a separate object, but it's batel to the beged. And the Gemara is now, for some reason, I'm not sure exactly why, the Gemara now is making an about face, and instead of viewing the mosera, this whole bridle with all its parts, as a separate entity, the Gemara is saying, let's activate the principle of bittul. Let's compare the Mosera to a Tachshit, and it's bottled to the Gufa Shel Behema, which means that if Rochav here in this Braisa means Manhig, right, and why is this called Manhig? Because he's Manhig Baraglov, then he should be Kone not just the Gufa Shel Behema, but any part of, or any object that's attached to the Gufa Behema, in a more or less permanent way. Later on, the Gemara is going to say, well, maybe the Moser is not permanent, but right now the Gemara thinks that the fact that the straps of this bridle are round about the animal, in fact, there's even a bit that's put into the animal's mouth, all this makes the Moser into part of the Chamor itself, so that if Rochav is a kinyan on the Gufa Shel Chamor, it should ipso facto be a kinyan on the Mosera. And this, despite the fact that there's another person who's holding on to the Mosera. But it doesn't matter, because the Gemara thinks that we view the Mosera as part of the Chamor. We'll call it Tafel, or bottle to the Chamor. And if it's part and parcel of the Chamor, then once he's Zochen, he makes a kinyan min hefker on the Chamor. Ipso facto, he's now being Koneh the Mosera as well.
Yeah.
So the Gemara now says, no, let's take the Mosera and let's divide it up into its parts. Fascinating. The Gemara now wants to say that only the part of the Mosera that's wrapped around the animal's head, that's considered tuffel to the Chamor. But then there's a part of the Mosera that goes beyond the animal's head, and those what we call the reins, and that's called the Mosera, the other half of the Mosera. So now the Gemara finally is beginning to introduce what's going to be the Sugya of Ravashi in a minute, which is called Beis Pagel, in which we take the Mosera and we split it into two. Part of the Mosera, which is wrapped around the head of the animal, is Batel and Tafil to the Chamor, to the Gufa Shel Behema. And that half is going to be acquired by the Rochuv. And we're talking about a Rochuv who's a Manhig because he's Manhig Baraglov. The other half of the Mosera, which is not attached to the animal's head, is valuable in the shuk. You could sell it. It's good. Maybe it's made of straps, of ore. I don't know what it's made of, but in any event, it has a value to it. And the person who grabs onto this Mosera, which is Hefker, is Kona, that part of the Mosera, which is not Batel and not Tafel to the Chamor.
Can we say like, that the bid is actually custom fitted to the Chamor, and so it really is, it's like, you know, the shoe, it wouldn't have independent value. For that reason, while the strap part of the Mosera is a more generic.
Maybe you're right. If the Mosera is not custom made, so maybe that's a separate entity, and therefore he could be Kona the Mosera, at least that part of the Mosera.
Right. Then if it's custom fit, then that means it's mamish, but tafel the behemah.
Right. So that's what David is saying, that the part of the Mosera that's beyond the Rosh HaChamor, that's not custom fit. That's standard.
Right, it's a strap.
So we see it as a separate entity. It has value in the shuk, and you could Kona bin Hefker. But from the bit and on, and surrounding the head of the animal. So now the Gemara goes into a whole analysis of the sugya that we've been touching upon, called Magbia Metzia L'Chaver. Let's just go over that sugya for a moment. We had our mission of Shnayim Oksim Vitalis, and the Gemara says Yachloku because Yesh Efshel L'Chaluka Lios Emes. What does that mean? It means that it's possible, we don't know for sure, that both Reuven and Shimon lifted up the talis simultaneously.
Right.
And therefore each one was kona half the talis. Yeah, that's right. Called Yachloku Hachaluki Yachol Lios Emes. So Rabbi Bar Chama, way back on Daf Ches, and it really starts on Daf Zayin, postulates that there's no way you can understand Yachloku in the case of Shnai Moksa Vitalis unless you assume Magbia Metzia L'Chavero Kona Chavero, which means that I have in mind to lift up an object that's Hefker on your behalf. I'm a self-appointed Shliach on your behalf. And if you don't assume so, then that would violate, that would irritate the principle of Hagbah, because Hagbah requires that you lift the entire object off the floor, not half the object. You can't lift up half the talus and have the other half of the talus dragging on the floor, kimunach al gabi karka, because that would not consider, that would not be valid as Hagbah, even on the half that you lift up. So the only way we can justify Yachloku is through Magbia Metzia L'Chaver, which means that Reuven and Shimon lifted the talis simultaneously, and each one lifts it on behalf of himself and on behalf of his friend. And again, why am I being so magnanimous and I'm lifting up half the talis on your behalf? After all, I want the talis.
Otherwise, he gets zero.
He gets zero, exactly. Why? Because he gets zero, because half the talis is on the ground. So we have to somehow work me on behalf of myself on half the talus, and you on behalf of me on the other half of the talus, so that my Akbar is on the full talus, and again flip it around the other way around, vice versa, and again each one is picking up the talus on behalf of himself and on behalf of the other one. That was Rami Bar Chama back on Daf Zayin Amid Beis.
So they wouldn't even have to erase it.
Yeah, I guess. The question is whether they really have to have this kavana, or the halacha establishes the kavana. We don't know. There's also always an element of suffix, because keep in mind, each one was tining, Reuven and Shimon were each tining kula shali, that I got there first. So we're going to have to introduce a kind of hachras sveikus called yachloku, but it's based on the fact that theoretically the chalukah could be emes. Now, if we apply this to the case in the Mosera, there was something really interesting, because I'm going to call it the top half of the Mosera, if you understand what I mean. I'm just making up that word here. But the top half of the Mosera is connected to the animal's head. It's wrapped around the animal's head. And if that be the case, the person who was Tofes b'Mosera on the other half, he didn't really achieve Agbah on this Mosera. And at this point, the Gemara assumes that you're going to have to introduce the concept here called Hamagbia Metzil Chavera Kana Chavera, which means, in effect, that the Rachuv, who wants to make a kinyan not only on the Behema, but also on the Mosera, is acting on behalf of the Tofes b'Mosera, and vice versa. So as far as the Mosera is concerned, together, in tandem, they're lifting up this Mosera. But the Gemara has to go through many steps until it accepts this. Bishlei, but the Gemara thinks not like this. Rachuv Kani de Kamagbi Le Beidas, meaning the person who's lifting up the Mosera from the Karka, he's a Ben Das, and his Maisa is considered a Maisa Kinyan, so that when he lifts up that half of the Mosera, that lifting, that Hagbah, is meaningful even as far as the Rachuv is concerned. Okay, that's good. Now let's flip it the other way around. Says the Gemara, no, we can't flip it the other way around. Why? Elatofis b'mosera b'may kani. How could he achieve a kinyan on this mosera when the top half of the mosera, again, I'm just using that term, I hope you follow what I mean by it, is locked down, is tied down to the head of the behemoth. Mm-hmm. So he never lifted up this mosera from hefker. So again, the obvious answer to the Gemara's question would be that to the same extent that the one toughest Mosera is operating on behalf of the Rachuv, so that the Rachuv should be called in the Mosera, we go the other way around. And we're going to say they're both working in tandem, one for the other. But the Gemara is not willing to say that at this point. Ema, but rather we should say, Zekon Chamar Vekulay Mosera, Vezekoni Mashet Tofus Biyado. Now this is fascinating. The Gemara sees the Mosera, number one, as a functional object, and its various parts as pieces of, shall we say, straps of hide, if you follow what I mean. And the Gemara wants to say the following, that perhaps as far as the Mosera as an entity is concerned, the Rachuv is achieving a kinyan on the Mosera as an entity, meaning in terms of its function. There may be a little bit of strap of rope that we can cut off from the Mosera, and the Mosera still remains functional. That little part can be viewed as a separate entity. So again, I'm not sure if the Gemara is saying that the toughest but Mosera is operating on behalf of the Rachuv, and that's the Gemara's language above, the Magbalei Bendas, that the one who's Magbia, the Mosera from the Karka, he's a Bendas, and therefore his Maisa is a meaningful Kinyan on behalf of the Rachuv. Or maybe the Gemara is now willing to say that since the Rachuv is Kona, the Guf HaBehema, and we say that the Mosera is a Takshit that's Tafil to the Guf HaShel Behema, that therefore the Rachuv makes a Kinyan not only on the Chamar, but also on anything that's Tafil. And now the Gemara doesn't need Magbia Metzila Chavera. But I don't think this pshat, even though I'm excited about it, I don't think the Gemara is going to bear me out on this. Because take a look at the Gemara's language. The Gemara says that it's impossible to postulate that the Tofes b'Mosera in this brisa is only Kona Masha Biyado, that we only give him that little piece of strap that's in his hands. Why? Because then, Ema, perhaps it should say, Zeh Kana Chamar Vekulei Mesera, Vezeh Kana Mashet Tofus Biyado. Now that's a bit of a stretch in the language of the Braisa, because again, let's go back to the language of the Braisa. The Braisa says, Echad Rachuv, etc., etc., Zeh Kana Chamar Vezeh Kana Mosera. And we're talking about a Rachuv who makes a full-fledged Kinyan Meshicha because he's Manik Baraglav. And now what we're saying is that what it really means is that the Rachuv, insofar that he's being Kona the Chamar, he's also Kona the Mosera. Why is he called the Mosera? Well, A, because the Mosera is part of the Chamor, it's attached to Chamor, and B, because it's Tofel to the Chamor. So for some reason, the Gemara is willing to accept this as a viable possibility, but the Gemara says, Haimai, let's look at the Mosera as an entity. You know, before, we were willing to say, well, we can maybe chop up the Mosera into its component parts, but now the Gemara says that we're going to have to introduce the principle of Magbia Metzila Chavero, which means that we're viewing the Mosera as one entity, like the Talis, and each one is somehow operating on behalf of the other ones. So Haimai, the Gemara says, how are you going to understand this din that when the Tofes Mosera lifts up his part of the Mosera, he's not going to be able to achieve a kinyan on the Mosera, it's only on Masha Tofes B'yado, and yet that's going to be considered a Hagbah on the Rachuv. So the Gemara is not operating here with the din of Tachshit that we had suggested earlier. Mm-hmm. The Gemara is looking at the Mosera as one indivisible entity that is separate from the Chamor. So the Gemara says then the only way you can understand that the Rachuv is Kona not only Gufa Behema, but he's also Kona the Mosera, minus that little piece that's Tofes B'yado, is if we activate the principle of Magbia Metzila Chavero. So the Gemara asks the following question. Im Timtza Lomar Magbia Metzila Chavero Kona Chavero, Hani Mili Heicha Deka Magbia Le'adaiti Dechavre, Aval Hayadaiti Dideka Magbi. Okay, let me stop in the middle of a sentence here. I mean, this is really not fair that I'm taking a pause in the middle of a breath. But what the Gemara is going to argue now is that the principle of Magbil Metzil Chavero would only operate if each one of us is satisfied by the results, if you follow what I mean. So, for example, I know that the maximum amount of this talus that I could even dream of getting is only half the talus. And if I sign on or sign off to Magbia Metzil Chavero so that I'm working on your behalf, at least I'll get half the talus. And that's indeed what the halach is. I'm going to get half the talus. So if I'm going to get half the talus, I'm willing to be Magbia for you as well, not only for myself, but as well as for you, because I'm ending up getting something. You know, it's not pure altruism. It's not that I'm going to be Magbia, the talus, on your behalf because I'm a great guy. You know, I'm a tzaddik, yisod olam, and I'm, you know, I'm mochel on all my mamon, and I don't want any, I have no chemdes mamon. No, it means that I'm going to get half the talus. Oh, so the Gemara says, but here, the person who's lifting up the Mosera, because again, the Rachav is not lifting up the Mosera, it's only the Tofes for Mosera. He's not getting anything. I mean, again, we'll give him a little piece of the pie, you know, Machatofus B'yado, but he's not getting half of the Mosera. So the Gemara uses this, like, almost Kalvachomer language. He says, Hani Mili, when does it make sense that you can apply the principle of Magbil Metzil Chavero and each one is being Magbil on behalf of the other one? That's only Hechadukah Magbil Le'adaiti Dechavre. That by making this trade-off, And each one is doing it on behalf of the other one so that each one will guarantee himself a kinyan on half the talis, then it makes sense. If I'm going to be kona half the talis, and what's the price I have to pay for it is I have to have in mind that my agbah relates to you so that you can be kona your half of the talis. That's a reciprocal agreement, and it's shavah b'shavah. But hi, in our case that you suggest in the brisa, then when it says zekana mosera, he means just mashetofus b'yado, is Adaiti Didei Komagbile? Is he, the Tofis Mosera, willing to be so magnanimous and so selfless that he's going to be Magbia the Mosera on behalf of the Rochuv? And what is he going to end up with from this Mosera? Iu Lo Kani, he will not be able to be Kona the Mosera or any serious part of the Mosera. He'll just end up with Masha Tofis Biyado. You know, how much is Kedei Tfisus Yad? Is Lachrini Makni? He's going to be so altruistic and self-effacing that he's going to be Kona and be Magbia on behalf of the Rachuv? And basically what the Gemara now is doing at this point, it's completely undermining the application of this rule of Magbia Metzil Chavero to the case of Tofes Mosera. Because it would make sense to say that Tofes Mosera would come under Magbir Metzila Chaveru, and he would do this Tfisa, this Hakbah, on behalf of the Rachuv, if you would at least grant him a Kenyan on half the Mosera. But now you're telling me he doesn't get half the Mosera. So Bishlema, if we go back to the original formulation, that Zekon HaChamor V'chatzi Mosera, Zekon HaChatzi Mosera, then it would make sense to say that we can apply the principle of Magbir Metzila Chaveru, Kana L'Chaveru. The Gemara just recently had rejected this because the Gemara says that the Tafas Mosera never really has the ability to achieve a Kinyan on half the Mosera. But now, the Gemara, by introducing the principle of Rami Bar Chama, of Magbir Metzil Chaver, the Gemara is now willing to recognize the possibility that he should be Kona half the Mosera. Why? Because the Rachuv is going to be considering Magbia half the Mosera on the part of the Tofus Mosera and vice versa, in order that each one should be Koneh. Because if you're not going to give the Tofus Mosera anything else, anything more, if you're so stingy, you're not going to give more than what? Then Tofus Biyado, why should he altruistically make this Hagbah on behalf of the Rachuv when you're not even giving him half? In Talis, we're going to give him half. So we're still stuck with some sort of understanding as to what's going on in this price. And the price is saying that he was Kona the Chamor. Who was Kona the Chamor? The Rachuv, who was a Manhig. And the other one was Kona the Mosera. And we said that how could he be Kona the Mosera when we view the Mosera as connected to the Chamor? So the answer is that the Rachuv is Kona not just the Chamor, but he's Kona half of the Mosera. And the Gemara wants to say that that's not going to operate here. And why isn't it going to operate here? Because what part of the Mosera are you going to give him? And the Gemara says the following, that it doesn't make sense that you can give him half the Mosera, because again, the Mosera is viewed as part of the Chamor. And on the other hand, how is the Rachuv going to be Kona the Mosera at all when you cannot apply the principle of Magbir Metzil Chaveru because you're not willing to give the Tofus Mosera half of the Mosera? Do you follow? We're in a kind of a pickle here. We're in what I would call Shnei Ksuvim HaMachishim Zetzeh. Kosev Echad Omer that this Mosera is to be viewed as part of the Chamor. And therefore, if Rachuv, in this case as a manik, is Kona the Chamor, he should be Kona the Mosera as well. That's Kosev Echad. And Kosev HaSheni says, no, that there's no Hagbah on the Mosera, because half of the Mosera was lifted up by the toughest Mosera, not by the Rachuv. So how could the Rachuv be Kona the Mosera? And what was your solution? Your solution was, you know what, let the Rachuv be Kona the Mosera, and we're going to assume that the Hagbah of the Tofus B'Mosera operates on behalf of the Rachuv. Well, that doesn't make any sense, because all you're giving the Tofus B'Mosera is a little piece of the pie that can be separated from the rest of the entity of the Mosera, namely Masha Tofus B'Yado. You're not willing to give him half of the Mosera because you're saying that the Mosera is connected to the Guf HaBehema. And he who makes a Kinyan on the Guf HaBehema, ipso facto, makes a Kinyan on the Mosera. So what are you willing to give him? You're willing to give him a Masha Tofus B'Yado? That's not going to be sufficient enough to apply and activate the principle Magbir Metzil Chaveru. He, the Tofus Mosera, wants to get to Mosera. That was his interest here. He wants to be Kona the Mosera in a Hefka. It's worth a lot in the Shuk. And you end up giving him a piece of the strip. We're going to take a scissors and cut off the tip of the reins. That's not going to motivate him to want to play ball with the Rachuv and give him a Hagbah, you know, on a silver platter. Give him a Hagbah in the Mosera. Oh, so now we get to Rav Ashi. Okay. So what does Rav Ashi introduce here? Rav Ashi wants to say, let's forget about Mosera. What's confusing us here in this sugya is the word Mosera. And again, I don't know if this helps anyone but me. Maybe it doesn't help me either. But anyway, the Mosera is the bridle. The bridle includes many different parts. Once we define the bridle as one entity, the Mosera, we're in trouble because we think the Mosera is batel to the Chamar, and therefore it's the Rachuv who did a manig, he's the one who's kona the Mosera. And we can't understand what the Braisa means by Zekot of Mosera. Says Rav Ashi, cross out the word Mosera. We're not talking about the Mosera. And the toughest for Mosera is not kona the Mosera, or not even half the Mosera. But what is he kona? We have to talk about the Mosera in two categories. There's one category of the Mosera that's attached to the head of the animal, and that has a different name to it. That's called Beis Pageha. And then there's the rest of the Mosera, which is called the Mosera itself. Now let's see how Rav Ashi is going to help us out over here. Omar Rav Ashi, we have to change the language of the Braisa. We're not talking about the Mosera, but rather we're talking about Beis Pageha. And which part of the general bridle, this whole Mosera, is actually Tafel to the Chamar? It's only one part of the Mosera. Which part of the Mosera is that? That's called Beis Pageha. So when it says Zek Kana Chamar, you don't read it Zek Kana Chamar and he gets half of the Mosera, but rather he's kona the chamor with the Beis Pageha, which is the part of this Mosera that's attached to its head, and maybe also the bit. Okay, fine. So now what are we left with? Vizeh, and the one who's quote unquote is toughest Mosera, toughest kona, excuse me, Mashetofus biyado. So what are we saying here? What is Rav Ashi trying to accomplish here by reinterpreting the kinyan of the Rachuv, not on the Mosera, but only on the Beis Pageha? So at this point, we could say the following, that we don't have to come on to Magbia Metzila Chavero, because the Beis Pageha itself is a separate entity, and you don't need a hagbah on the Beis Pageha, meaning the Rachuv doesn't need anybody's help to acquire, to implement a kinyan on the Beis Pageha, because the Beis Pageha is absolutely tofel to the Guf HaBehema. So if the Rachuv as a manik is being coded to the Guf HaBehema, maybe he's coded to the Beis Pageha as well. Okay, now we get to the Mosera, which is the part of this entity called the bridle that's to the exclusion of the Beis Pageha that's wrapped around the head of the animal. So the balance of this entity, which we call the Mosera, is now not being lifted. What do I mean? Since it's attached to the Beis Pageha, then he never lifted up. When I say he, I mean the Zetof, the quote-unquote Zetof Mosera. He never actually did Agbah on Mosera. When I say Mosera, I use that word a little bit hesitantly, because what I mean is Mosera minus the Beis Pageha. Anything beyond the Beis Pageha, beyond that which is wrapped around the head of the animal. That part of the Mosera was never actually lifted up. And therefore, his kinyan in this price of the Tofus Moser is only on Masha Tofus Biyado. On Tofus Biyado, he has a kinyan. Now, Rabosai, don't ask me exactly what that kinyan is. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's a complete kinyan Agbah. And that would require that we go back to Talis. You remember we had the case of Shnai Maduki Vitalis. And So I'm not sure in that sugya. Again, we have to do a chazor in that sugya of Shnai Madukim Betalis, whether or not that's called a Kinyan Hagbah. I'm not sure. I think the Gemara, if I remember correctly, applies a principle called Gimel al Gimel, that if it's Gimel al Gimel, then it's like a separate entity. It's a kli unto itself. I don't know. So don't ask me that question because you'll just embarrass me. I'm really that part of Bava Metzia is really very, very confusing to me. Now, what's going to happen with the part of the Mosera that's in between? In other words, it's beyond the base Pagera, but it's not Tofus Biyado. So the Gemara says in the name of Rav Ashi, is Hashar lo kana lo ze velo ze. Let's understand. We have a behemoth hefker, and the Moser is attached to the animal, and we have to assume that in order for anyone to acquire ownership and change the status of hefker, he has to implement a kinyan. Well, the Rochuv implemented a kinyan on the Chamor and Beis Pagel. The Tofis Mosera, since he didn't lift up the entire Mosera, is only Koda Mashatofis Biyado. Let's call it a Kenyan Hagbah for the time being, but it's only Hagbah Mashatofis Biyado. In effect, anything in between was not lifted neither by the Rachuv nor by the Tofis Mosera. And therefore, Rav Ashi insists, Hashar lo kana lo zeh velo zeh. So I want to read to you the footnote here. He says, Hamachzik b'mosera, he's not kona, that which is in between, beyond his tefisas yad, mishum shalog bia. V'arochev, mishum she'ein zek kolul b'meshichas ha-behema. Again, I don't know, I think he's saying what I said, I'm not sure. He says, afilu im moshech ha-behema. Oh, okay, so this is the next sugi that we're going to learn about a case of Mashiach on a behema where there are kelim and metaltalin on that are laying on top of the behema, and the question is whether the Mashiach on the behema is a valid kinyan even on the kelim on top of it. That's going to be our very next sugya. So he says that even if you'll hold that Moshech behema is kona kelim, he says that's only the kelim that are sitting on top of the behema. And that has to do with what's called a kinyan chotzer. But as far as kelim that are attached to the behemah is concerned, like for example this mosera, that din of moshech behemah is kona not only the behemah but also the kelim on top of the behemah would not apply. Okay, that's already...
You're talking about the difference between the saddlebags and something that sits high?
Like maybe a saddlebag is lifted up on top of the animal, so maybe if you cone the animal, it becomes a chutzah for the saddlebag.
I don't know. It's on the side.
All right, so I understand. I'm just saying conceptually, what I thought you were trying to convey was that theoretically, if you the saddle itself, let's say, right, you could have kelim on top of the behema, and there's going to be one shita that says that if you make a meshicha on the behema, then you kone also the kelim on top of the behema. That's not going to help us for the Mosera, because the Mosera is not on top of the animal, okay?
Yeah.
If you in any event, the Gemara rejects this Rav Ashi, completely rejects Rav Ashi. Rav Yavo Omar, he says the following, Li Olam Kidiktani, he says, let's go back to the text in the Braisa as we have it. The text of the Braisa has it, that the Rochuv is Kona the Chamor, and the Tofus Mosera is Kona the Mosera. Now, since Rabbi Avo wants to be loyal to the text of the Braisa, then we have a clean-cut split over here, which the Rochuv is Kona the entire Behema, and the Tofus Mosera is Kona the entire Mosera, and never the twain shall meet. And that does not fit in with Rav Ashi at all. But now Rabbi Avo has to explain the logic of it. Since we've been saying over and over again that the Mosera is connected to the body of the animal, to the Gufa Behema and its Tofel, how could the Tofis be Mosera make a kinyan on the Mosera unless we would view the Mosera as a separate entity? And then on top of that, even if we view the and define the Mosera as a separate entity, we still don't understand Rabbi Avo. Why? because he never did Agbah on the entire Mesira, on the entire Mosera. And our principle in Agbah is that Agbah has to be on everything or on nothing. You know, if you have half the talis that's still Munach Agavi Karka, there's no Agbah. So here Rabbi Avo introduces a whole new element in the equation. I call it potential. This is a Gemara Gittin. The Gemara says that if a man gives a get to his wife in such a way that he attaches something to the get, it's called a menatko, yochel menatko, mimshech elov, he has a meshicha that he ties a string, so to speak. This is what we call in English, the strings are attached to the get, and he could pull the get out, then it's considered that the get is in his hands and not in her hands. Again, where is the get? It's in her hands. But Halpidin is considered to be in his hands. Why? Because of a principle called Yachol Lenat Limoshko Ulenatko Etzlo.
Yeah.
All based on potential. In other words, he has control over the get. He physically put the get in her hands, but he still has control over the get. So Rabbi Avo wants to apply this principle to the Tofes B'Mosera. The Tofes B'Mosera, in effect, has not lifted up the Mosera because half the Mosera is connected to the animal. But nevertheless, it's considered as if he lifted up the Mosera. Why? Because of potential. Ho'il v'yachol l'natko l'avio etzlo. Again, I don't understand the Metzius here. I need a Pirush Chai here. How exactly he can pull the Mosera and remove it from the Rosh HaChamor. Then this I can't understand. I mean, when you attach a Mosera to Chamor, it's not something you just pull off. You know, this is the Halach of Kesher Shel Kayama. But in any event, somehow the Gemara assumes, according to Rabbi Avo at least,
maybe Cholav Yotzla is the Mosera and the Chamor. You physically pull it very strong, and the
Hanum
would walk to him, and that would create the
kingdom. Maybe. Excellent. That could be an interesting idea. Anyway, I had problems with this Rabbi Avo, and I'm in good company. Because the Gemara says, Hada Rabbi Avo Virusahi. The whole thing is a mistake. He never meant it, he never said it, or maybe he said it, but he was mistaken about it. He says, the Ilo Tema Hachi, if we accept Rabbi Avo's underlying principle, which is called Yochol Natko Ulavio Etzlo, then let's go back to our drawing board, which is Shnayim Oksim V'Talis. Is Talis Shimunachas Chetzio? Okay, here's an interesting case where the Talis is tied up on a pole. So there's a vertical pole, and by tying half the Talis on the pole, half that Talis is already lifted off the ground. Can I acquire ownership on this talus by lifting up the part of the talus that's laying on the ground? We need a Akbar on the entire talus. The answer is, well, half the talus is already lifted up by the Amud. And the Gemara assumes, which I don't know exactly why the Gemara assumes so, that you cannot acquire ownership as long as half the talus is tied down to the Amud. And this contradicts Rabbi Avo. Why? Because Rabbi Avo has a principle of Yochol Enatko Lavio Etzlo. Now, once again, is it tied down to this Amud with the Kesher Shel Kayoma? I don't know. But let's assume that somehow, if he pulls hard enough, he'll be able to detach the talus from the Amud. And then, according to Rabbi Avo, it should come out that if he lifts up half the talus, he did not lift up the other half of the talus, He would be kona the entire talis. Why? Because yachol enatko lavio etzlo. So let's read the Gemara inside. Hada Rabbi Avo brusi di ilo temach. If you can accept Rabbi Avo, then talis shehi munachas chetzio al gabi karka. Half the talis is lying on the ground. Vechetzio al gabi amud is tied down to a pole. Now again, how tall is this pole? Is it Asor Tvachim? I don't know. Uba acher v'gbiya chetzio mel gabi karka. So Ruve comes along and he lifts up half the talus that is lying on the ground. Is according to Rabbi Avo, he made a kinyan on the talus. Ba acher, if the other guy comes along now subsequently, and v'gbiya chetzio mel gabi ha'omud. And I have a footnote here that Igbia means that he detaches the talus from the Amud, or somehow he lifts it up in a way that it's loose from the Amud. Is Hachinami the Koni Kame Ubasro Lo Koni? According to Rabbi Avol's logic, the first one, the kama should be kona, not the second one. Why? Hol v'yochel and not take ulavio etzlo, that somehow he can pull this off and lift, and by lifting half the talus, he's kona the entire talus, because he can pull the talus away from the amud. Right? The amud is not going to fall on him and beat him up. Right? And yet, Rashi explains that in the Mishnah back at the beginning of the Masechta, the Mishnah doesn't tell us that in this case the kama is kona and the basra is not kona. Right? The Mishnah says shnayim oksim v'talus is yachloku, which means that, again, in the way the Gemara is medayik, it implies that even if the second fellow lifts up the half of the talus that's attached to the amud, or detaches it from the amud, then he'll get half the talus. Only if we reject Rabbi Avo, we understand why the Mishnah would have omitted this case. Because if we reject Rabbi Avo, we're not going to look at the Hagbah from a perspective of potential, which is called Yochel Linatkal Avir Esel, but rather from the actual Hagbah. And in this case, he only was Magbiah half the talus, which again, as we said, Hagbah and half is not Hagbah at all. Now we're about to embark upon the sugya of Kedarko and Shelo Kedarko. So we'll leave that for tomorrow, Mirz Hashem. And we'll talk a little bit about Masechta Chulin. And today, I may need a Shulchan Aruch from you.